Luke chapter 2. So as we are entering the month of Christmas, so we'll be meditating on this, and also today being communion service, we'll be seeing from Luke chapter 2, verse 25 to 32. Luke chapter 2, verse 25 to 32. Christ Jesus, the promised Savior. So though it may look like a character study of Simeon, but we are going to focus on Christ and the fulfillment of God's promise, the promised Savior, Jesus Christ. I'll read from verse 22 onwards to understand the context. 22 to 32, Luke chapter 2. And when the time came for their purification, according to, I'll read from verse 21. At the end of eight days, when he was circumcised, that is Jesus was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem, in some translations it says, behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ, Lord's Christ. 27 verse. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the customs of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, that you are prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for the glory to your people Israel. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for this beautiful record that you kept for us today. Christ Jesus, the salvation that you have planned since the foundation of the ages, Lord. Lord, even as we look into this verse, tender our hearts, humble us to be receptive for your word, that our mind and heart may settle from the other things that is bothering us, and give us grace and wisdom to know this greatest thing that you have done for us, Father. Thank you, Lord. Speak to us. Let your Holy Spirit guide us and give us wisdom and lead us into truth, Lord. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, the Christ Jesus, that is the salvation that God has planned since the foundation of ages, foundation of the world. He is the Messiah, the promised Savior. We'll see three motivations today. It's in your handout. And answers will be ethically leaked, so you can keep a focus on this. So, trust Christ, seek Christ, and worship Christ in these three motivations. The idea is this: the Messiah, the promised Savior. That will be our focus, though we'll be seeing more of Simeon's life. But the focus is Christ. Trust Him, seek Him, and worship Him. One question that makes a difference in a person's life is this, because I am from an unbelieving background, so this is something. Have you seen the salvation of God? This does not mean a physical or a mystical way of seeing the appearance, but it is the way God's word proclaims and portrays who Christ is. That is what we will see today. salvation in general is a very commonly used word. Salvation is a way of protecting somebody from someone from danger or disaster or loss in a general sense, in a dictionary meaning if you see. But if you see, it is one of the commonly used word in the context of religion and the belief system. Recently we had an opportunity to visit some places where we saw how some have struggled to pain, abstain, isolated themselves, confined themselves in remote places, followed strict rules and regulations, etc., etc., etc. Ultimately, if you see, this for this so-called salvation, which most of the belief system uses, man has always been striving to understand the salvation with his own, his or her strength, and in his own capacity. And to this end, and since ages, since the time we know that this has been one of the pursuit of human being. I, as a child, in my childhood days, my late grandmother often used the word vimochanam. I don't know many if you are in Tamil or a Sanskrit word, this is, means salvation. A certain means to achieve it, she always used to tell. And I always thought that when I'm old, this is something that I should pursue. Right now, I'm free. But she always used to tell and focus me whenever she got a chance, because she had a means to achieve that in her own way. And as a young boy, I used to wonder how exactly these things will work and what is the truth behind it. But though it was not my strong pursuit in those days, but still I have the remembrance of what my grandmother used to do, say. But of course, this was before I clung to Christ, which is salvation, God's promise in his own mercy and time, that what today we will be seeing it. It is interesting to know from this passage, which you keep looking at this passage, from this passage, one thing that God has promised since the beginning is this salvation, that is Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Redeemer. This ultimate promise, the core thing that God is focused and promised and assured for us, a thing that God has prepared for all of us, all the peoples of the nation, all nations, all tribes, all ethnic groups. This is something that confidently we can say from God's word, that this is something God has promised. Anything else you can be not sure of, but this is something that God has promised. Today we'll primarily focus on this, God's promised, the Lord's anointed one, through Simeon's prophetic insights concerning this promise of God for all of us, Christ Jesus. So Holy Spirit has inspired Dr. Luke. So the author of this book, human author of this book, is Luke. And if you see, of course, the ultimate author is God, and Holy Spirit. The record of this is a very a short and a beautiful episode with a deep truth of God in it. And God reveals in his few lines. And again, if you see, in fact, I was more tempted to take both Simeon and Anna, who comes at the end of this verse 36 onwards, but in the interest of time, if you see, these two people come as in the same something like a order of Melchizedek, who is also some sudden appearance, a guest appearance character in the Bible. If you see, there are some appearances which comes in the Bible which is very unique, very specific, and it is focused on God's plan, and that's it. You know, and that's the way Simeon is presented here today for us. And I already read from verse 21. And if you see, as per the mandate, this is the infant days of Jesus Christ. In some people's life, Jesus Christ has still not grown up, but this is a place where it records, and after that is grown up, you know, is out of that age. But in this picture, if you see, is the infant Jesus. And as per the mandate of Jewish law and customs of the Old Testament, these families ensured and laid down this, ensured that the laid down ceremonies and the rituals as per the law was carried out accordingly and judiciously they carry, and that's so when the baby was born in the family. So verse 21, if we read that, captures the first ceremony, which is the requirement according to the law of Moses. It's circumcision. Every boy baby was circumcised on the 8th day after birth, and the baby was named. Okay. And as per Leviticus 12 legal requirements, this is. Circumcision is a symbolic representation. It means that circumcised Israelite or a baby, especially male boy baby, is cut off from others or the pagan world or a Gentile or idolaters. They are set apart. The idea is about setting them apart. Okay, setting them apart as a covenant people of God. So that is the reason. It's a symbolic representation. For some reason, God has kept that. And now in verse 22, if you read in Luke 22, chapter 2, verse 22. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up, that is, brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord. We'll not go detail into this, but just have understanding of the context. Every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two pigeons. So, this is a presentation of a firstborn in the temple. This is another requirement, verse 22. The firstborn was presented to God 1 month after birth. This is redeeming or buying back the child from God through an offering. The word redeeming is a very, very well-known word among the Jewish people. Actually, if you see in Exodus chapter, we'll not go there, but Exodus chapter 13 verse 2 says, consecrate me, all the firstborn, whatever is the first to open the womb among the people of Israel, both of man and of beast is mine. That's what God says. So the idea is this, as per the text, if you see, that it was a ceremony of purification of the mother. The mother was to offer a lamb and a dove or a pigeon. If mother is poor, she is allowed, as per the law, to offer two doves instead of a lamb, which is costly even now. So, two doves or pigeons instead. Here, Mary gives the offering of a poor. She chooses that because of their economic condition. But the focus here is the first male child is presented to the Lord, then redeemed through this substitutionary offering. So, it's like, it's God's. Now, I offer and I redeem the baby back. It is in this context that Simeon, most probably an old man, so if you read verse 22, that is how he appears in the scene in God's divine providence and timing. This is an amazing prophetic insight into the significance of who Christ is. Messianic mission is clearly presented here with the infant Jesus in the picture. And it is also one of the greatest events in the history of mankind. Christ, the salvation, is on Old Testament and New Testament, where actually it's the central focus where God is presenting here. It is like a transition. If you have gone to border, where sometimes in border you see both the cultures, both the denominations are accepted in times. This is the border in which where still it is the Old Testament time. But the idea is this, that if you see verse 22, we'll read. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. So I just want, before going into this, I just say that, you know, in 1 Peter verse 1, it says that 1 Peter chapter 1, concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours, searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them, that is to the prophets, that they were serving not themselves but you in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Things into which angels long to look. If you don't understand much, just remember this. The idea is everyone were pointing and looking for this greatest event, salvation, appearance of Christ, and when it is going to happen. That is the idea. That it is from the ages beginning, from the Genesis time, wherever prophets were there, they were always looking for this particular incident happening. Christ's birth and his life on earth, and this death on the cross, it's a redemptive work, a sacrifice, a ransom for us, and this glory that is, he raising on the third day. So many things were pointed towards that. Many things were pointed towards that. I don't want to take much time on that. But the idea is this, and if you see, and the idea is here, Simon is also looking for it. Very eagerly, Simon was looking for it. Simeon was looking for it. So as we go, if you see, the point number one, trust Christ. In verse 25, if you see, 25 and 26, when you see, Simeon had unshakable trust in Christ. Unshakable. There is a reason why I'm using this, because the way he was introduced is this. Now, behold, there was a man in Jerusalem. When Bible uses this verse, it tells about a marvelous thing, or it's an exclamatory, or it's also a rarity, or sometimes it is something that is not normal. That is the way it is, interestingly, Simeon is present there. The city of Jerusalem was full of pilgrimage place. It's a pilgrimage place. And especially if you see the massive structure of a temple which Herod the king built. And it is one of the ancient wonders of the world. And it was talked about in this holy city and tourist destination. Of course, when people come and see, they think that the greatest thing that they have achieved in their life. And a lot of self-righteous people were there. So-called holy people roaming around the temple and the city of Jerusalem. And including Pharisees, which Jesus always confronted them for their so-called righteousness. So it is this what Simeon is called as a unique person. If you see, Bible records him as a very different person. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem who was righteous and devout. And if you see, it's a cool and happening place, in, if you say in a younger generation term. It is not a very common scene where a man with his attributes like this, a righteous and devout, awaiting for the consolation of this sin, and Holy Spirit was upon him. A righteous simply terms that his standing before God is fine, which simply means that his trust was on Christ, his faith was on Christ. And it is not that he was not sinless. That's not the language here, and just as he was also his standing before men of those days was clear. He was just before men also, and this is important here. When we see waiting for the consolation of Israel, what is this waiting for consolation of Israel? So if you see, this is not a new thing again. People always was waiting for some redeemer from the beginning in the Jewish culture, if you see. And if you see, for example, I'll read from Isaiah. Isaiah 61 verse 1 and 2 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Second was to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, and the Lord of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn." Basically, if you see, the prophecy is about concerning Christ. Most of the Jewish people, most of the Israelites, well aware of this. Though many didn't have the privilege of having Bible like how we carry today. They had scrolls where they need to, possibly sometimes only in synagogues, they have to have this privilege of having the scrolls. And but this verse, it must have been in their memory. And many were looking forward, especially the devout and the people who trusted in Christ. Others possibly, because more than 1,000 years is already over, and people got used to their own ways of life and days. But probably many people were, that's why possibly here it talks about behold. And there were faithful remnant people. Again, if you see, Anna, I was telling you the verse 28 of the same chapter, shows us the old widow. Widow means that she also lost the economic privilege of her husband, you know, providing for her, old widow. But her focus was this, on this redeemer. And the same way, Simeon is also given here. He was one man trusting in Christ and looking for this consolation of, or redemption of Jerusalem. So he trusted in Christ. He was looking forward, waiting for the consoler of Israel, God's people. And this is something that we have to understand this in the context of the promise which was given. maybe what we can term these days is this. The question to us always is this: what are you waiting for? Sometimes a life is like something like a mist that comes and vanishes. It goes days and days. We wait for many things in our life. If you see, like if you see Simeon, God's word introduces him something like he is waiting for Christ, and that is his introduction, biography. Actually, if you see, that is his profile, resume. Possibly, we can try to see that. What are we waiting for? Waiting for possibly trusting your manager who promised once upon a time for increment or a promotion. Waiting for a visa or on-site, marriage, education, house, settling down, this thing or that thing. There are so many things that we wait for. One of my friends in Bangalore, he waited for almost 16 years since the builder promised him that he will give the house. In fact, they put a case and I don't know whether now it's finished or not. Of course, he was paying a complete EMI. Waiting, and his life was waiting. Of course, they put a case and other things. So there are times our life goes in waiting for many things. But can you see, Bible calls us to wait for one thing, which is of sure and clear, is this: waiting for Christ, trusting on Christ. To be truly blessed, if you see, we can't be surely confident or be promised of anything that we can receive, that we wait for, whatever I mentioned in life, except one thing, which God's word guarantees, that if you wait and trust Christ, you will be surely blessed. And not only now, it's forever. John 17:3 says this, and this is eternal life, that you may know, that they may know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. But apart from this, verse 26, if you read, Simeon was also having a special revelation. If you see, verse 26. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, the Lord's anointed one. This is a special revelation for him that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Trusting in what God has said will come to pass. In other words, trusting in Christ is virtue in itself. Though situations may not seem, in fact, throughout the Bible, if you can see, God many times brought people at the dead end and asked to trust because who he is, not because who they are, or not because of their capacity. There are times where Abraham, you can see, he was old in no human sense that you can see that he can trust himself and see that yes, what God has promised can come to pass. But God wanted him to trust on the virtue of God and not on the things around him. The same, similar, actually here also you see, though the revelation is there for him, but the point here is this: this man, Simeon, trusted Christ because of what God's word proclaimed and the one who promised it. See, if you see, for example, I was just wondering about similar virtue you can see in Joseph of the Old Testament. I'll read one verse for you in Genesis. And Joseph said to his brothers, Genesis 50, verse 24 onwards, I am about to die, but God will visit you. This God promised to Abraham. I don't know whether Joseph of the Old Testament really had the Bible in hand. But the idea is this, that it was very clear as a people of God, Israelites, that they were, this promise of God was passed on to them. And they clung to that, actually, you see. And Joseph said to his brothers, I am about to die, but God will visit you and bring you up out of this land, that is the Egypt, that they were there, to the land that he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Then Joseph made the sons of Israel to swear, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here. It would have sounded foolishness for many people, actually. So Joseph died, being 110 years old. They embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin. He was not buried in a tomb there in Egypt. He was put in a coffin in the Egypt. But when God visited them, when Moses came and God in his own mercy took these people out of Egypt and slavery and oppression to the promised land, they actually carried Joseph's coffin. Though he was dead, he was speaking a lot. He was proclaiming Christ even though he was dead there. Joseph believed in the Redeemer that God would send as he promised, because who God is. The physical savior from oppression and the slavery in Egypt to a promised land is nothing but a shadow of what we are looking for today. Of course, what Simeon also was looking for is this shadow, what is to come. The Lord, the Savior, Jesus Christ, the comforter of not only the dispersed Israel, but also for the entire world, the salvation of God. So that is what, you can see the picture there. What is a shadow, what Joseph was looking for, is what Simeon is looking for. And we are nothing less actually. We are also looking for the similar promise of God has kept here. And no wonder why it is this faith in God's word, in Simeon's life, the promised Messiah is credited to him as righteousness, and that he is righteous. Trust in Christ is the essence without which one cannot please God. Else it will be like massive amount of work accomplished, multiplied by zero, resulting in nothing. In one of the replies, John Calvin said this: as often as we mention faith alone in this question, basically he was responding to one of the query that has come to him, we are not thinking of a dead faith which worketh not by love, but holding faith to be the only cause of justification. Galatians chapter 5 verse 6 and Romans 3:22. This is a crux. If you don't know, I will give a smaller version of this because it's a little bit difficult to understand the terms, but it is therefore faith alone which justifies, and yet the faith which justifies is not alone. Just as it is the heat alone of the sun which warms the earth, and yet in the sun it is not alone, but it is constantly co-joined with the light. In fact, if I'm not wrong, Martin Luther, it says, many people claim, Martin Luther put it like this in a simple way: we are saved by faith alone, but faith that saves is never alone. You see, what we talk about trust in Christ, about Simeon, it's not alone. Verse 27, when we read, it takes us to the second point of seeking Christ. It is intellectual in nature that he was trusting in what God has promised would be accomplished, but it was not alone in his life. That faith and trust of God's word, trusting Christ, it was not alone. If you see, verse 27, when we read, 27 and 28, we can club. It's actually a little bit overlap there. But 27 and 28, if you see, look at the verse. 27, and he came in the spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, seeking Christ, this was as his trust was not alone. He was actively involved in seeking Christ. It was not passive. If you see, Noah would have been mocked for building the ark. If you see, Noah is an Old Testament character, those who don't know. He is a character where God said that he is going to send a flood across the world. And when God said, God also gave a dimension for him to build a boat. And probably people didn't see what is a massive amount of rain means those days. And in the middle of a city, like in the midst of Pune, God asked him to build a huge ark or a ship. And almost 100 years, not one day, 2 days. And that was his job, day in and day out. And this would have been certainly attracted, he would have been mocked for this, laughed at for by neighbors. But Noah trusted and sought God, actually, not just God's word. But it was not alone. He daily, perseverance in what God has asked him to do until the day when God promised came to pass. Of course, that time, everybody who laughed were swimming actually, trying to save themselves through their own strength. The text here says that he came in the spirit into the temple. Clearly, this is a wonderful example of Holy Spirit works in a life when it carries, or rather you say, to carry out what God has promised by the Holy Spirit. It is Holy Spirit who promised Simeon, and it is Holy Spirit who is also guiding him to the promise or to the plan that God has for him in his life. So when you read, it clearly says that it's Holy Spirit that revealed him, and he would not see the death until he has seen this anointed one, that is the salvation, Christ in his life. But it also tells very clearly that Simeon was watchful here. Simeon was, we can try to see, read between the lines that how Simeon would have been in his life. He must have been watchful and sought Christ. In other words, he would have been he would have been watching and praying, filled with the Holy Spirit in his life. Of course, though this is an Old Testament time where Holy Spirit for a specific purpose rested on some people. Like for example, we can see in Samson's life, God had a plan for Samson to kill the Philistines. So God, in specific instances or incidents or circumstances, Holy Spirit came upon Samson and he was empowered with extraordinary strength so that he was able to accomplish and destroy the enemies. So it is in the same context you see that in Simeon's life, Holy Spirit came upon him. Simeon was seeking Christ in daily walk with God. And that was his chief end, fixing his eyes on Christ. And God blessed him in his divine providence and in God's appointed timing. He brought the salvation of God, that is Jesus Christ. Imagine this picture, how this happened. I was just wondering what is the divine coincidence, because Mary and Joseph, at the correct time, they are bringing infant Jesus, and Simeon was led by the Holy Spirit into the temple, verse 27. I'm sure there must have been many cute little babies. It's not only Jesus was very extraordinary in the way where most of the images shows that he had a moon or a circle around his head. Nothing was there like that actually. And he didn't have a 6 leg or 10 hands or something like that. It was extraordinary that Simeon can immediately identify that. It was not that. It is specific guidance of the Holy Spirit that this man, Simeon, was able to see and identify the timing. And Simeon most likely was a layman and unwanted personality among the proud Pharisees and self-righteous people. And of course, as I said, that this would have been a pilgrimage place, that he would have been a place, oh, this man, I know him. He keeps claiming that he one day is going to see Jesus Christ. And every day it's a trouble and problem with this man. This man comes and keeps seeking for that. It's not that sometimes he took some baby, it doesn't look like Jesus, no, you keep it. And I don't think that would also happen in his life. He was in step with the Holy Spirit, and he was definitely not hanging around with those who make the temple a den of robbers. If you see, temple is not very, very holy place that time. Of course, there was people who really spent time with God, and there was God's word proclaimed there, but also you can see in Eli's time in Samuel, it says that temple is also a place where Eli, the priest's son, were involved in abusing women in the temple. If you see the record in Samuel, it says. And temple is a place where Jesus came and overthrew the table. It was a den of robbers, money exchangers, so that this old man could have gained some profit. Possibly he was not roaming around with them, because old man also means that economically he would have not been able to survive himself. It is very difficult. So he could have engaged with them more day in and day out for his own survival purpose. But Simeon was not like that. He was just, and it was not justly intellectually trusting Christ, but he was earnestly seeking Christ in day in and day out. It was his daily passion. Seeking Christ was his daily passion. Goal. It was his agenda for his day when he gets up. His priority, that was his purpose, that was his only aim on that particular day. Every day, it cannot happen that one day suddenly he got an anointing special and every day he was roaming around with funny people and suddenly one day he woke up and think. It was his desire, it was his intention, that was his target, Simeon's target in his life. And in fact, if you see in one way, that was his only true career in his life. We talk about this word career many times. This was his actual career. That was his. This kind of coincidence God brings him. Of course, I want to also caution you, especially youngsters, this kind of coincidences and scenes might bring misinterpretation and illusions, especially in the context of marriage also. One of my acquaintance also said that when I was a bachelor, he said, God told him that this will happen, that will happen. I don't want to bring a crazy, humorous instances, because sometimes only that instances people remember. But of course, I'm tempted to tell one that he said that God told him that when he shakes, gives a hand to a girl, and he will get a shock. And that is, this is kind of revelation and God's coincidence and guidance. People misinterpret that from this verse, if you see. Of course, he did get a shock, but his marriage also was a shock. It's a lifelong shock. See, It is not a divine design, or a God's providence. It is an earthly disaster sometimes, if you say. Fundamentally, seeking our own desire, not seeking Christ, is nothing but seeking flesh in our day-to-day life. I love this verse in Colossians 3. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Today my son was memorizing this. He was telling this verse. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So when God's word richly dwells in you, that is Christ richly dwells in you, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms, this is the outcome, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart. It is a lifestyle compelled and propelled by love of God, seeking Christ. And then things will come to pass in your life according to what God's will is. That's what happens in Simeon's life. Simeon was led by the Holy Spirit and was able to not only come into the temple at God's appointed time, but also able to behold Christ. If you see, he was seeking Christ and he was able to behold this baby. Challenge to us is, my dear friends and loved ones, brothers and sisters, if you are a husband, if you are a mother, father, employee, a master, seeking Christ is the divine design. That's the only divine design, actually, if you see. And it is only motivation in all that you do. You will not get a reward many times, sometimes, as we think of. No other reward also can be so compelling and so much satisfying, as fulfilling as Christ himself is. In this you will be comforted or confirmed to the, that's what we see in Romans, if you see. You will not be confirmed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, and you'll be able to discern what is the will of God. Simeon was able to discern what the will of God is. In seeking Christ, you will be able to receive strength in divine providence, in bringing godly life, also God glorifying husband or a wife or a father or a mother or a children or an employee, whatsoever it is. Lastly, we'll see verse 29 to 32. Overlapping with verse 28 onwards. It's a worship. When you trust and seek Christ, you'll be able to worship him. In fact, one way, if you see, even your life will be able to be a worship for God. Worshipping God is telling who he is and what he has done. And it is focused towards God. Adoring God for who he is and what he has done. Read verse 29 to 32. This is a very famous poem. It is also called, it's called Psalms of Simeon. I'll read from verse 28, the context. He took him up, that is, took him, Jesus, in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples. A light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. So this is what his final wordings of Simeon is, in terms of praising the Savior whom he was seeking and longing for in his life. You will be able to worship Christ like Simeon finally when you trust and seek Christ. Actually, Latin word of this is famously known as Nunc Dimittis, which means that now you may dismiss me. A well-known hymn this is, actually. So I was trying to persuade Nikhil to sing this. He said, no way. It's very difficult because this is some hymn that salvation, this celebrates salvation of God. This shows the fulfillment of Simeon, what he was longing for and waiting for all these days. It is worshipping Christ indeed. It is a response of what God has done by helping him to see what God has promised, which will happen for all of us when we seek and trust Christ. I just want to say in a simple word, R.C. Sproul put this in a very, very simple way and beautiful way. In effect, what Simeon is telling in this three, four verses, Psalm of Simeon, when I use, it's R.C. Sproul put it very nicely. He says this, Simeon says this in effect. I've seen him, that is, seen Christ. I've looked into the face of my Savior. I don't have to wait to watch him grow and be nurtured in the admonition of the Lord. I do not need to watch him in his public ministry, listen to his teaching, or watch his miracles that he will perform one day. I do not need to see the transfiguration. I do not have to be an eyewitness of the atoning death on the cross or of his resurrection from the dead. I've seen all I have ever needed to see. And in this face, I see the light of salvation that God has promised to this people, to his people, which is the consolation that we have been waiting for. Now, it's enough. Let me die. I'm tired. I have endured so much. I've seen the salvation that you have promised. Let me go home. Will we be able to tell like this? In fact, if God has said this, my dear one, if this happens to you, after that you will die, it will be an anxious moment for us. Because if that event happens, next is my death. It's a very anxious moment. But if you see people in the Bible, Abraham saw his descendants as great nation according to the promise of God when he had no inheritance or children. And he was advanced in age. Joseph, who saw fulfillment of God's Redeemer, delivering them from the slavery in Egypt to the promised land, his coffin witnessed the promised Redeemer, ultimately pointing to God's Savior, Jesus Christ. When God said to Moses, you will not enter the promised land, he didn't bother. That was not his promised land, was not his the thing. This God was the thing in his life. That's enough. That's fine. I have you in my life. Many more, if you see in the Bible. Rahab the prostitute saw the deliverance of God in faith, if you see, though people were not able to see that. Joshua and Caleb, if you see, Joshua and Caleb experienced the fulfillment of entering the promised land when the entire tribe was crying because these two men saw God's salvation. What God promised will be accomplished. How many of us will be happy today if you say that you will die when some particular incident comes to pass? Simeon was looking for a better country in his life. Hebrews 11:16 says that, but as it is, they desired a better country, that is heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Hence, he was able to be at peace and worship Christ, Simeon. If you see, Simeon was very, very focused in his life. And it is not a character study again, because it is Christ that made a difference in his life. In fact, sometimes I feel Sunday school, you all have to see, especially I'm happy that many Sunday school teachers are privileged to get this answer from children, that most of the questions they answer Christ, somehow it will fit here and there. If you see, this is how God has kept, there is a great lesson to be learned in that. Christ is a mystical, magical word we have to take, because when I was an unbeliever, this word Jesus, if you say, Satan will run away. That's not the way it is. It is the focus is Christ. The focus is Christ in our lives. When I was learning, I'm just going to close in a couple of examples. But I just remember when I was learning driving, I had a very wonderful teacher, guru we used to call him. He had a very old Jeep. The problem with the Jeep is if I do a little bit, the gear will come out. But he always told me one thing. You have to keep your eyes on the road. Keep your eyes on the road. But I said, no, I'm not able to see where is the ledge, break and brake. I have to search it, then only I can brake. Or rather, why don't you write where is one gear, two gears, second gear? I have to see and then only I can put. Always. And he took me on the highway. You know, those days highway is not like what you think of three lane, four lane. It's only one lane. You know, one lane where you can only hear the vehicles coming zzz, like that. It will go around you. And the little bit miss is a life and death matter. But he said only one thing. Look the road. Automatically your hand and your steering will take care. It's a practice. It took long time for me, because every time when he says put the gear, I have to see down and see where is the brake and clutch and accelerator. When he says change the gear, I have to see here and change. It was a very pathetic thing, but it's a hard lesson learned for a long time. It's a wrestling for a long time. Now I will be able to see only the road and drive. The same way what Bible and God's word says throughout the Bible is this: fix your eyes on Christ. Fix your eyes on Christ. Rest will fall in line in your life. If you see this verse, just to give a brief about what this Simeon's word is, he says this: my eyes have seen your salvation. It is not that Jesus will bring salvation somehow, some other way, or something he will do is that people will attain salvation. But Simeon is telling this in verse 30 that my eyes have seen your salvation. Your salvation, that is, this is the child that would bring God's salvation to all nations and tribes. In an abstract word, if you see this abstract noun, in which the salvation here points to the personality or personal, the being of Savior. No? This is a being, that Jesus Christ. In fact, if you see many verses say that, for my eyes have seen your salvation. That's what we read in Luke chapter 2 verse 3. And all flesh will see the salvation of God. John the Baptist tells Luke 3, 6. And in Titus, when you go back, Paul says this, for the grace of God has appeared. It talks about Jesus Christ bringing salvation to all people. He himself is a salvation. There is an emphasis here. The Simeon, if you see, Simeon has seen the salvation. It is Christ's anointed one. Has prepared. God has prepared this in presence of all people. Again, when you say presence of all people, the recipients, they are not observers. They are the beneficiaries. It is not only Israel, the promised people, so-called promised people, if you see. It is through Christ, it is every one of promised people. You know, because it is for every nation and every tribe. There is no difference. And it is the plan of God. And when, if you see the next verse from 32, if you see a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel. Light and the glory, verse 32. It's a restoration of Israel and also a light which has opened the darkness of the Gentile world. If you see, he was actually referring to a prophecy in Isaiah 49. It is too light thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. Ends of the earth. That's what today we are all beneficiaries of this salvation that God has promised. In fact, every New Testament believers are light to bring this salvation to all Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. We'll conclude with this. Oh, two things I want to close with and pray. If you know Christ, in God's providence, we have God's word today. Simeon didn't have this whole thing what we have this today. Of course, God in his own providence gave him different way of means to seek Christ and trust in Christ. But today we are all blessed people, I should say. The Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, leads us to all truth in everything that we see. Though we no longer wait for the fulfillment of the promise which was prophesied, the consolation of Israel, now we are looking forward for the glorious appearance of Christ, the kingdom of God. Jesus is the fulfillment that God has ordained, if you see. In one of the funerals, I came to know the father of one of the brother. The man was known as the man who loved books. He had a massive collection of books. He loved to read. Most of the people mentioned when they spoke of this particular man when I went to the funeral. Dear ones, I want to put a point here. God's word identifies and remembers some people in the word as like Simeon, when you see the righteous, devout, waiting for Christ. Many people are referred in different way. A man after God's own heart. And we saw Simeon. And there are people who are referred as friend of God. Woman who loved to sit at Jesus' feet and listen. Just listen. They are referred in the Bible like that. Mary was referred like that. Today, what is your pursuit if you know Christ? Are you chasing the wind without any success or in vain? Seek the kingdom of God first. Kingdom of God is Christ. And his righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. Trust Christ. Seek him. If you don't know Christ. Don't know Christ. Ask God to show Christ. Divine providence of faith. To trust and seek Christ. And Christ alone. Which would be the beginning. And eternal in nature. Which will not be taken away from you forever. That was what God's word Bible says. That. See the salvation of God. Christ in every circumstance or instance in your life. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And in one more place, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. And this is one word when I used to be an unbeliever and see in my hometown, before a graveyard, this verse in Tamil used to be there. Every time I used to read this word, and it has been a blessing to me to know the Lord. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. I used to wonder, how can this happen? Though he shall die, yet he shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the beautiful record. A short episode, short portrait. A picture which you have presented for us today. marvelous and glorious thing. Thank you, Lord, for this truth. Jesus is the salvation, the Redeemer, the Messiah, the promise, the fulfillment. Today, even we are looking forward in our lives, Father. In every circumstance of our life, we pray that your kingdom may be established. Christ may be established. Christ may be proclaimed. The visible sweet aroma. We may be the aroma of Christ, Lord, in everything you have kept for us, Lord. If we don't know you, I pray that help us to know who you are and what it means to believe in you, in your divine providence. Thank you, Father. We commit the rest of the time, even as we go to the communion table, you may speak to us personally and also as a church. Bless us, Lord, with you in Jesus' name. Amen.